Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con.
And we're super excited about this one.
Mm-hmm. It's another Indiana one. This one is PopCon, Indie PopCon to be exact. And it's going to be in Indianapolis, again at the Convention Center.
Indiana Convention Center.
Right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, and Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. We're always excited to see you.
All right.
That's all I got.
Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sammy.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Shall we begin?
It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational show.
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan.
Yay. Hello.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Don't forget to go check out all of our social medias, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok for even more Pixie Dust fun. And also make sure you check out Limitless Broadcasting as well.
Yes. I love how every time we say featuring Dan, it just cracks us up. We have been doing
this episode.
Dan, that guy.
I'm not laughing at you.
Because you always do something weird. I mean, what was that? Like, come on.
I don't know.
Man.
Whatever comes to my mind in the moment. Yeah.
That's why.
That's why.
What else are we going to do? Hello. Like,
hello.
You got to keep it interesting.
You do, because we're a fun Disney podcast.
Yeah, it's fun to mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. You got to have fun with life.
We do. Okay, so we are in the midst of Star Wars. We are in the last week of April, which is crazy to think that it's the end of April already. But that means I'm closer to coming to Florida.
Yay.
Yes. I'm so excited. But anyways, so last week we talked about the dreaded holiday special. So we're going to start to pick ourselves up out of the explosive canyon that we made for ourselves last
Pit
week.
Of despair.
And we are really going to talk about Ewoks.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this, but there are actually three different Ewok projects that happened in the 80s. I only knew of the TV show, cartoon TV show. I did not know about the movies until they put them on Disney Plus. So today we are doing overviews of the Ewok Adventures, Cavern of Courage from 84, also the Battle of Endor from 85, or Battle for Endor. And then the Ewoks cartoon that was 85, and I think 86 is when the cartoon was, because there's only two seasons.
Gotcha.
So I have watched all three of these, and I've watched every episode of the Ewoks. Have you? What did you guys watch, just so the audience knows, if any?
Battle for Endor, that's what I watched.
Okay. Sammy, did you watch anything?
Same. I watched the Battle for Endor. I was like, I had intentions for the cartoon, and then it looked like too many episodes, and I didn't feel like doing it, so I didn't watch it.
There's no way I can get through all this tonight.
I was like, it's a lot. I'm just going to skip it.
Yeah. Dan, did you ever watch any of the cartoon when you were younger? Because there was, like, VHS of, like, three episodes from the Ewoks that was out for a while.
No, I don't think I was even aware of the cartoon when I was a kid. Like, the only thing I knew literally was just this one movie. I assumed there were more, but I never saw them.
Gotcha. So I knew about the cartoon when I was a kid because we had a VHS of three episodes, but I thought it was just like a special movie and there was nothing else to it. So when the cartoon again came out on Disney Plus and I'm like, wait a second, there's a whole series? I was so excited and I watched it like right then and there. Like I started binging it because I love the Ewoks. They're one of my favorites. I know people think that they're dumb and shouldn't be in Return, but I think they're adorable and they were perfect for kids.
They are.
So we're going to go through them kind of in order, caravan, battle, and then the show. I have some trivia for each of them just to give you an idea of them and a summary. And then at the end, we'll talk about our thoughts of what we have watched or what we hear. So Caravan of Courage, Wicket the Ewok and his friends agree to help two shipwrecked human children, Mace and Sindel, on a quest to find their parents. So this film takes place between The Empire Strikes Back and The Return of the Jedi, and that causes some controversy because in both films, Sindel is teaching Wicket to speak English, so if this film actually took place before Return of the Jedi, then Wicket should have been able to speak to Princess Leia in English after the speeder bike chase. So there is some continuity issues.
Yeah. Unless, continuity issues in Star Wars?
Oh, really?
I've never heard that happen, ever.
Oh, man.
No.
No, never. But especially in the novels. Dear Lord, so many issues in the novels. The old legend novels.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so that's like the big thing. Like if someone watches this movie and you hear that and you're like, wait a second, that doesn't track. I mean, he could potentially have regressed because he really didn't learn. Like he did more of like repeating to her. So he could have just regressed the speaking part and kind of understood Leia. That's possible. Yeah. But who knows? This first movie was actually finished in 9 weeks. So that's like a little over two months. They did 6 weeks of shooting, 1 week of reshoots, and 2 weeks of dubbing. And then it was done and ready to go. Bad. Yep.
Seems about right for a movie like that.
Mm-hmm. And when I was doing the trivia, when this one I'm about to tell you, it made so much sense because I was watching this movie and I'm like, this looks like and sounds like somebody. Eric Walker, who was chosen to play Mace, because they chose him because of his resemblance to Mark Hamill. Walker was often mistaken for Hamill on set. He is wearing something that Hamill wears in in Empire Strikes Back. And Walker didn't know that he was auditioning for a Star Wars spinoff movie. He was just told he was auditioning for an hour-long school after school special. It's longer than an hour, but you know. But I remember starting to watch this movie and I'm listening to him and I'm like, this sounds like whiny Luke from the first movie. And you do, if you watch it, like if you guys ever decide to watch Caravan, he resembles and he sounds like not voice sounds but just how he talks it sounds like Luke Skywalker. I'm like what is okay, right, got it. And then this was a weird one. I need to rewatch the movie. I actually enjoyed it. I need to rewatch the movie to see this part, but on one of the paintings in the show actually includes Winnie the Pooh sitting in a tree of like one of the Endor paintings, and Winnie the Pooh is sitting in one of the trees. Nice. So I need to go back and find
that. I saw you mention something about Winnie the Pooh. I didn't see what the notes actually were. But...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah. There. So that's a little info on Caravan of Courage. And then they do end up finding their parents at the end, just so you guys know. Yeah. They find them.
I was on the edge of my seat, so I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yes, I know.
Oh my gosh, I just have to know. I know because I just fast forwarded to the end just to see what happened.
There you go.
So I watched like the last 10 minutes.
Or if you watch Battle of Endor, you know that they found the parents.
Well, also I know that because I watched it. But before I start Battle of Endor, I was like, well, let me at least understand what happens in this movie. So yeah.
Yeah. So the Marauder, so Battle for Endor, Marauders raid the Ewok village and steal a power supply they believe to be magical. Wicket helps Sindel escape the evil witch, Charl, I don't know. They never really said her name in the movie. And they befriend a hermit who may help them save the village. So this made me so sad. I'm like, okay, I just watched Caravan of Courage. They finally get back together. The beginning of this movie is about they're about to leave. And what do? They kill off Mom, Dad, and Mace, who Mace was the main character in the last movie, mm-hmm. in the first 30 seconds of the movie. And they leave a five-year-old. Five-year-old with an Ewok.
That makes a lot more sense, honestly. I didn't put two and two together that the family was like part of the first one.
Yeah.
And now mm-hmm. I understand. I'm like, okay, now I understand that.
Yeah. So Caravan, their parents got captured by this evil giant Gormal thing. Mm-hmm. And they are going on a journey to save them. It almost mm-hmm. reminded me of Lord of the Rings sort of deal. Like they were right. going on, they got all the people and all the mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. And they save them and they're back at the village and they're fixing their ship. And it pretty much, Battle for Endor pretty much starts probably a week or like a couple days after the end of Caravan of Courage. And they're about to leave and they all get killed except for Sindel.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So the Hermit is played by Wilford Brimley. His name in the show is Noah. Mm-hmm. And apparently he did not get along with directors Jim and Ken Wheat. So in his scenes, they were directed by production designer Joe Johnston.
Ah, nice.
Okay.
Yep. And according to an interview with Warwick Davis, a second sequel known only by the working title Ewoks 3 was in the planning stages not too long after Ewoks the Battle for Endor. But the film, however, of course, never got made. There was supposed to be a third. I don't know what it would have been about, but there was supposed to be a third. Especially since like they left at the end of battle, like they actually get into a ship and leave. Mm-hmm. Which makes me so sad. I feel like she should have just, you know, stayed with the Ewoks and they could have raised her. It would have been fine. Let's see here. The Charel person is actually a Night Sister. So I don't know if you guys remember. Ooh. Well, Dan will. Okay. But Sammy, do you remember what a Night Sister is? Okay.
Yep.
So the Night Sisters, if you do not know and you're listening, are a sect of Sith witches from this mysterious planet, Dathomir, mm-hmm. that were sensitive to the dark side of the Force. They had dealings with Count Dooku and appeared in the third season of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. So she
very, very cool characters, actually.
So technically, she's like the first Night Sister to ever appear in Star Wars.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah. That would make sense.
That actually makes me like this a lot more now.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, after I read that, I'm like, oh, yeah, her whole outfit, everything just makes sense now.
Yeah, it collides perfectly.
It does. The character of Noah actually foreshadows a science fiction film that would be written by screenwriters Ken and Jim Weed about a man stranded on a desert planet where he is shipwrecked, and that film became 2000's Pitch Black.
Okay.
Which was Vin Diesel's movie, correct?
Yeah.
And then again, I don't know why I put this on here again. It took place between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Right.
I don't know why I did it twice. So the main people for both the movies, the director, it said the director was John Cordy for both of them, but also, or did I not put, I don't think I put the Ewoks ones. I'm having conflicting information. I just realized that I didn't put the Wheats on here.
Mm-hmm.
So John Cordy directed the first one, what I say, Ken Wheat directed the second. Mm-hmm. George Lucas and Bob Carew were writers on both of the movies. And then the stars in the first movie, Eric Walker was Mace, Warwick Davis is Wicket, and Aubrey Miller is Sindel. And then in the second movie, they added Wilford Brimley as Noah. Mm-hmm. Eric was in there just for like 30 seconds. And then Warwick, Aubrey, and Wilford. Now, fun, someone put up some Ewok language for us.
I saw you posted that. Cool.
It was in one of the IMBDs. So the Ewok language was based on Tibetan. I think we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. The Ewok words heard in this adventure translate into English as the follows. So yeehaw was goodbye. Yub-dub, which we hear a lot. Yub-dub, nib-dub, yub-dub. Yub-dub. Hooray. Yub-dub. Mm-hmm. Hooray. So when you're watching Empire Strike, or not Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, when you hear yubdum, because they say it a lot, it's hooray. Achi is all right. Gunda is good or yummy. Beach is Dang. Lurdor, I don't remember that one. Lurdu, I've never heard that one in there, but Loser. Tiety is Come. Kush, Who or What. Rhoda is Eat. Shock is Yes. Jeeks is That. And Den is No. The ones I knew that I remember hearing is like the first four. I don't remember the rest of them. And Feech. I remember Feech. I don't know why I listen to their language, but I do.
I remember Rhoda. Rhoda.
Oh, from Return of the Jedi. Yeah. So that is the movies. And then in 85, they decided to do a cartoon series for kids, which is so adorable. But what I hate about it is there's two seasons. The first season is beautifully animated, and I love the style. And then you go to the second season, it's like they dim the colors, they dim everything, and it's a totally different artist. I'm like,
I hate that.
Ugh, I hated it. I absolutely hated it. They changed the color of the Ewoks, everything. It was horrible. Stories are still cute, but the animation, in my opinion, stupid. So the Ewok summary for the TV show, a standalone collection of stories. Star Wars Ewoks focuses on the Furballs from Return of the Jedi and their many misadventures into the unknown, the magical, and downright absurd. So is the life of an Ewok. And these are supposed to be taking place after Return of the Jedi.
Gotcha.
Yes. The surname of Wicket in the show is Wicket W. Warwick, which is presumably a reference to Warwick Davis, who played, of course, the character. And it was estimated that each hour-long pair of, I know we're talking about the Droids TV show next week, but the Droids and the Ewok episodes cost between $500,000 to $600,000 to produce each episode.
Wow.
And this made them one of the most expensive animated series in the 1980s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. The series takes place before the original Star Wars trilogy. My bad. I got that mixed up. So this actually takes place before all the other stuff's happening. So yeah, that was a very, very, very quick overview of the three movies and the TV show. So Sammy, what are your thoughts? What did you like, dislike, what you thought was weird? Give me your things.
I don't have a lot, but
that's okay.
I did try and watch The Caravan of Courage. Maybe it was because of Mace. I don't know, because you know I'm not big on whiny Luke, but
yes, I know.
I tried and I was like, no. So I just fast forwarded, like I said, to the last 10 minutes to at least see what happened. And then I was like, all right, I got it. The Ewoks are fine. When the Ewoks are on the screen, they're very cute, adorable. I have no problem with it. It was honestly just the rest of it. I was just like, no. Skip. So then I was like, but let me be nice and try the next one and see Battle of Endor. And it was better, I think. It was much more tolerable. Again, I don't know if what the main difference was, whether it was because they narrowed down the characters. I have no idea. But I definitely can feel the vibe of this is for children, because it was a little hard for me to stay super engaged. So I had it on and I was doing other things, but you don't really need to like watch it. To know what's happening. Yeah. But it's very cute. And I could see letting kids watch it and them being enthralled in it, especially with, like you said, the 5-year-old little girl interacting with the Ewoks, and they're so cute and fluffy and they do silly things. And so I could see if I was that age demographic, I think I would have enjoyed watching it because it's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. But one thing that bothered me was, I don't know what his name was, but the little white Muppet monkey thing.
The rat thing. Yeah.
The rat. Yeah. Like, what's his name?
I'll look it up.
Okay. And this is just how it goes sometimes with some of these creatures that they create. He looked friendly, but he also looked like he would give me nightmares.
And that's the Star Wars creature feature summed up in one
sentence. Like, and him in particular, I don't know what it, because we've seen very, like, a lot of creatures over the years, but him. For some reason, he really bothered me.
Some of those, they have a weird looking screen. Yeah, it's a weird combination of cute and terrifying.
Yes, I was just like, I kept staring at him and I'm like, I get it. You look friendly, like you are not trying to do something evil. Right. But you also make me run away from you because You're like gonna give me a nightmare tonight just looking at your weird face.
Teak.
Yeah. What's his name?
That's the 80s for you.
Teak.
Teak. Okay. Teak. I could not remember. I was just like the white Muppet. I don't know what his name is, but right. You'll know what I'm talking about when I bring him up. But I mean, he was a good guy, so I was glad he didn't change because that would have really bothered me since his face was already freaking me out so much.
I thought he was adorable.
He's kind of like a rat, though, like Dan said. I was like, he's like a monkey, but not. But yeah, rat was like another good description with the teeth. And
it's a weird combination of a bunch of little rodent
things. Yes. I it's nice that you think he's cute. I just, I was not into the look. Well,
so, the creatures from the Muppet, like the Muppet creatures, they're not always going to look absolutely adorable.
No, and I accept that.
I mean, think about Labyrinth, think about Muppets in general.
Like, that's what I'm saying. None of them bothered me like he did. I don't know what it is about his face. I don't know. But he just, no.
He did not bother me.
That's good. I'm glad he didn't.
I feel like there's a version of him in the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if his name is Teak or if it's a different, like, name, mm-hmm. character, person. Mm-hmm. But he's adorable in the TV show. So that, mm-hmm. the cartoon. So that might be why I was okay with him in this show.
Okay. Yeah, like the
cartoon version.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
What else? I mean, this movie, it's predictable. I mean, like, you know, when they first meet Noah, you know, he's going to let them back in to stay with them. He's not going to leave them out. And, you know, he's going to, like, his heart's going to warm up to them. But it was still very cute. I think my other problem with these movies, though, is I just can't really get behind just watching a movie or a show where it's just, like, kid actors. Because I'm just like, it's not their fault. She's five, right? Like she's going to deliver the lines and the looks the way she's going to do it. But it just is one of those things where I'm like, it's cringy. And if I was your age, it would not bother me. But as an adult, I'm just like, oh God.
She's adorable too.
She is very cute. It's just the line deliveries and stuff. I just was like, oh.
There's definitely.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, it's not her fault. She's five. I mean, it is what it is. But as an adult, I'm like, this is why I don't watch things with just child actors on it.
There's definitely an art form to getting child actors to actually interact in a way that's entertaining for everybody. And if you don't do it right, you're going to be like, okay, it's just for kids.
Yes. And that's how I feel about these movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cute. No, that's it.
It is what it is. That's really about pretty much what you can say about it. Like it's fine. It's cute for kids of that era, of that age during that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was well done.
Dan, what about you?
I did kind of live tweet it again, so if you're similar to the Star Wars thing, I'll give my thoughts on it first. My thoughts are pretty much similar as yours. I said, I saw it as a kid. And I remember genuinely enjoying it. Like, not, it wasn't anything mind blowing, but it was like, okay, this is cute. It's entertaining. It's whatever. So that's kind of why I chose this one over the Caravan of Courage. And then watching it about 5-10 minutes in, I'm like, this is boring.
Yeah.
So I was like, I remember this as a kid because I was a kid. The cinematography was actually very surprisingly good. And it definitely had a sort of immersive sort of fable kind of feel to it, which I didn't, you know, that's kind of what kept me engaged somewhat. So it's like, you can say what you want about, like, you know, the Lucasfilm, even though Lucas didn't, I think he was one of the writers, but like he wasn't. So you can say what you want about his level of cheese, but he really knows how to make gorgeous pictures regardless of genre. And that's always going to be his, you know, that whole world's biggest strength. You know, but I mean, as a whole, like, it was, in a lot of ways, like, I kept forgetting that it was part of the Star Wars universe. Like, I kept, every time, like, a piece of technology or a laser would show up, I'm like, oh yeah, there's advanced technology in these universes, because, like, 90% of this film feels like a fable. Like, if I'm getting more, like, Lord of the Rings, like, Legend of Zelda vibes, it just happens to have some Star Wars stuff in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's cute.
We're on Endor. They haven't technically taken over the planet yet, for Return of the Jedi, and they're not as civilized as some of the other places. Yeah. Like they think the Marauders think the core power for a starship is magic, because they have a night sister on the planet who is magic.
Right. It's so weird seeing that in Star Wars. Like, I'm so used to like the opposite, you know. It's like, oh, technology shows up. That's just normal, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the few times I used a gun. Oh, sorry. Was interesting because it felt like they had to like charge it before it shot. But like, if you watch the first two Star Wars movies, that's not how they work. Right. So it's like, what do you have there?
It's battery operated.
Something like that. Yeah.
Self-charging.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed all three things, mostly because I feel like I can go back into my childhood and be a kid when I'm watching them. I don't know if it's, I don't know if that's a good thing, but I enjoy kid movies. They're fun to me. So, and the fact that it's Ewoks, I love the Ewoks. I have since I watched Return of the Jedi as a kid. So I think it just speaks to that part of my love of Star Wars. Caravan of Courage was probably my least favorite out of the three. I feel like they again made Mace a little too like Luke, in the sense of whiny, wanting to prove himself, like all these different things that I just wanted to smack him. And I did love Sindel. I thought she was adorable. I thought she was perfect for that role of the little girl, especially when she interacts with Noah later, and her relationship and friendship with Wicket is just absolutely cute to me.
It is.
Like, they're the best of friends. It's like, I think I saw myself, I'm like, I want to be the 5-year-old girl who's with the Ewoks. Like, I think I saw myself as wanting to be her.
I could see you doing that.
Yeah. And then the cartoon. So the movies are, like, you guys have seen the movies since. So the movies, to me, are not as good as the cartoon. So I watch the cartoon, and I love it because you are only watching the Ewoks. And there are, you see their world, you get to know more characters of the Ewoks. Like, because in Caravan and Battle, and then even Return of the Jedi, you really only know Wicket. Wicket is really the only Ewok that you get to know. And in the cartoon, they actually name all of these Ewoks. So we see them in the real life action version, but in the cartoon, they take them, make them cartoonish, and they give them a personality, they give them a name, and all the things. Like the ranger, the forest person that they add to the group in Caravan. You guys weren't there for that. Never mind.
No, definitely skip that moment. Sorry.
He dies at the end and gives the axe to Mace. They like have him in the cartoon. And I remember seeing him in Caravan. I'm like, I like, what's happening? Cause I love him in the cartoon. He's a great character. So I don't know. There's something innocent about the cartoon that, if I had kids, I would want them to watch that cartoon as part of their Star Wars education. I don't think they would need to watch Caravan or Battle. But the cartoon has, I don't know, this innocence that I think sometimes we need for Star Wars.
Absolutely. That's something, one of those things that when it's done right, it can be, you're right, it can be kind of essential to Star Wars. There is a sense of wonder you know, if you go too far into it, it gets a little over the top and cheesy, like certain other Star Wars content. But if you do it in just the right way, like you're describing, I think that's good. It's a good thing.
And I remember getting, I don't know who, I think my mom and dad found it and like made it a gift for my brother, which was an Ewok VHS. And it had three episodes of Ewoks. But as a kid, I thought they were three separate movies, like short movies. But there's a villain on that VHS. She's like this old, decrepit other creature, witch creature. And she scared the bejesus out of me when I was a kid.
Oh,
when I was a kid.
Right.
So when and just how they did the scene and the animation of her whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's like Maleficent. Mm-hmm. It was Maleficent scary for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I watched it again as an adult and it came up, I just remember having this moment of like, oh gosh, trauma. Like a reverse or a flashback of trauma, mm-hmm. for that. Cause it is still, in my mind, it's still scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I watched it as an adult, it probably wouldn't have been, but my child brain's like, oh, you remember that? You remember having nightmares about her? Yep, there she is.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Oh, mm-hmm. man.
Because I think I used to watch that Ewok movie on a loop when we first got it. I would just, mm-hmm. watch it, rewind, wait for the 20 minutes of it rewinding, watch it again, 20 minutes rewind. Yeah. Oh, VHSs.
Yeah.
I do not miss those. I really do not.
No, they're a relic of ancient history.
They are now.
But... yeah.
You ever like Google something or like Google something, like look at something up on YouTube and then you see like somebody holding a camera up to like an old TV that's playing a VHS? Mm-hmm. It's so weird to watch. Like, how did we deal with that quality? It's so awkward.
It is.
I did. Well, I still have a VHS player. So weird. Do you?
I do. I still have a VHS player that works. And I still have I still have all my Disney VHSs. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones I did not get rid of.
Wow.
And there's a couple other VHSs I haven't gotten rid of because I haven't gotten the DVDs for them, because mm-hmm. I just am lazy and haven't done it. Except Night's Tale. I finally got Night's Tale on a DVD.
Hmm.
But yeah, I still have them, and I got it out when I was in Nebraska during mm-hmm. COVID because I was bored.
Right.
There's something I wanted to watch. And I was like, watch. It wasn't. Of course, I opened it up, and it was not rewound. I had to rewind it. I'm like,
you were not kind to yourself.
Like, no. No.
Do you remember like going to like Sammy going to Kang K and getting a video, yep. and you take it home and you open it up and they didn't rewind it?
Mm-hmm. So like, rude.
I have to wait 20 minutes for the stupid thing to rewind.
Exactly. You're messing up my night.
I know. Do you know Kang K is still there, but they are now like a thrift store?
I looked it up the other day. We were talking about it and I was just like, is this still a video thing? What do they do?
I think they still have video rentals have if you want to do it, but it's mostly a thrift store now.
Yeah, gone. Weird. Like Blockbuster. Yep.
Yeah. Is the last Blockbuster still in Oregon or Washington or something, or did they finally close it?
I don't know.
I know.
I'm not sure if it's still open or not.
I know it was open still for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know if anything's happened to it since COVID.
Still open. As of December of 2022, the last Blockbuster is one of three remaining video rental stores that are operational throughout North America.
Okay.
Its only competitor being Canada's Jumbo Video. The location has become a popular tourist destination, yep. since becoming the last Blockbuster.
Of course it has. Course.
It's not even like a store anymore. It's a relic of a museum now.
Jeez.
Mm.
You know our 90s gear is in like museums now.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I literally saw like a meme this morning that had the old Apple computer.
Yep.
And it said this is in a museum somewhere. This is on display in a museum somewhere. That came out in what, late 90s, early
2000s? Yeah. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like Pogs. Let's see here. Pogs, yo-yos, fanny packs. Pretty much our whole 90s childhood is at a museum.
Yeah. We sell fanny packs still. What the heck? Why is that a thing? I saw a guy doing a yo-yo. Like it's a kid younger than
me. Yeah, they're back.
Yo-yoing.
Well, because the 90s are coming back.
Yeah, the 90s, like, and early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. What was it? In the 90s, the 70s were coming. No, was it 2000s?
In the 90s, yeah. You're right. In the
early 2000s, the 70s. The 70s,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they brought back bell bottoms and like halter tops.
Yep. And now we're in the 20s, which is so weird to say. We're in the 20s. And the 90s are coming back. It's like, wait a second. What's that?
I just want to know why we skipped over the 80s so quickly. Bring the, like, I'm hanging on to the 80s throwback for a little while.
I can hang with that.
Synthwave.
Why did they skip it?
They didn't really skip it. It was just here for a little while, mostly because of Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that brought back a lot of 80s nostalgia. It really didn't, though. Like, why are we already moving to the 90s? I don't want to move to the 90s. I didn't enjoy the 90s when I was in it.
We've been in the 90s for at least a year.
Mm.
crop tops and mom jeans.
Oh yeah,
the mom jeans. My girls in my small group talk about like the high-waisted mom jeans, and I'm like, you realize that that was like the most unpopular thing to wear in the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you got made fun of for wearing the high-waisted mom jeans. They're like, yeah, but it does this and this. I'm like, no, it doesn't matter. Like, it's not cool. No. Now they're making fun of us for our skinny jeans, and
I don't care. I'm gonna wear those till I die.
Well, I made fun of skinny jeans when skinny jeans were a thing, so that's fair.
I hated skinny jeans.
I did too.
Like, if you look at my whole college career, I never wore a pair of skinny jeans.
I was the same way.
I wore like bootleg or my flares or whatever I had.
Yep.
And I remember the first time I wore skinny jeans, and my jeans did not get wet at the bottom when I was walking around. And I'm like, this is fantastic.
So great. My legs aren't all wet.
Florida, it would rain so much, and I'd come to the cafe, and like half my jean all the way up to my knee was wet.
That was how it was. Yes.
Oh, I hated those days. And now they want us to go back to it. I'm like, no.
I'm not doing
it. No, I refuse.
I'm not doing it. I'm not having the wet legs again. No.
Hey, look, man. Gen Z, Gen Alpha, y'all can do whatever you want. I'm good where I'm at.
I'm just going to keep wearing what I like.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, they tried to cancel the side part. I'm like, I'm sorry. What? Why?
What is so wrong with the side part?
I don't know.
Oh, you mean like parting it like
parting your hair. Yeah.
You're supposed to do it right down the middle. Okay.
Ew, doesn't look good on me.
Is that for everyone or just?
Oh yeah, like apparently we're all supposed to have a middle part. Like side parts are not cool anymore.
They're not. If you're a side part, they know you're a millennial.
Yeah, I am. Hello, born there.
That's fine. That's how
I was born in 88. Deal with it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Oh goodness. Yeah, it's crazy. Like they don't know what's they. Well, the funny thing is, I feel like we're starting to sound like the generations before us.
See, every time I do that, I stop myself because, like, I could go on a rant about this, but it would kind of kill the vibe. But basically, I'm just going to say, like, I try not to repeat that pattern because I hated feeling that way. Like, the older generations that I looked up to saying we were like, oh, we were stupid and ignorant and naive and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm 22 years old. I don't know anything about the world, and you're dumping on me. What the heck, dude? So, that's like, I wouldn't want to repeat. I wouldn't want a Gen Z to feel that way. That's crappy.
No, but I will say, Gen Z, like, if you really ever get into TikTok, Gen Z actually tries to do that to us. Like, it's like it's going up the generation.
Yeah, I think they're mean to us. They're actually millennials
very
don't care.
Mean to us.
We're just like, well, I'm going to wear my hair how I like it. That's okay. But then the Gen Zs are just like, you guys are so lame. I'm like, yeah, okay. Sure. Like,
literally, pretty much our entire generation can be summed up with two words. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's literally that. Like,
that's a millennial.
Well, I saw a TikTok the other day about, are millennials ever going to have a midlife crisis? Because we're coming up on it. Like when you would normally have one. And the TikToker is like, midlife crisis, we have lived through, and he listed everything, Y2K, 9/11, the markets, he listed all the things we've been through as a millennial. He's like, we've been living a midlife crisis our whole life.
I was going to say, I think we're in it already.
Yep, like, because we're living through some things like our parents' generation didn't have to live through as teenagers and different things. And pretty much the generation before us, the last generation before us who had dealt with as much as we dealt with was our grandparents because of the world wars.
Right.
Like our parents had like one war.
It's crazy.
What was their war?
Vietnam or Korea? I can't remember which one. Both, actually.
Both, I think.
Well, Vietnam was what, the late 60s, early 70s?
Was it?
Yeah. So okay. Our parents were like elementary school. At least mine were.
And then the Cold War.
When was Korea?
Korea. Cold War was 50s.
I thought the Cold War was 80s. What war am I thinking of in the 80s? Maybe.
Desert Storm?
Yeah, maybe. That was the other one I was trying to remember.
Desert Storm?
You're right. Yeah. Okay, you're right. I'm getting it mixed up.
Yeah, but they didn't go through like we being attacked like on our grounds. That's what I mean. Like, our grandparents had Pearl Harbor. We didn't have anything else homeland until 9/11 sort of deal.
True. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we're just sort of like apathetic to everything.
Yep, I think so.
That's like our biggest defense, our coping mechanism, and our greatest flaw. Because like we cope with life by being apathetic about it, so it doesn't get to us. But then we don't do anything. So it's like, okay, no, we have to actually do something to make life better. But also like, you know.
Yeah, and we're like the adults now. We're the people who are going to be getting into like our generation is old enough where they can start being in office.
Mm-hmm.
Like, scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like what? Where millennials started in 82, something like that.
Early 80s.
So we're not. Yeah. We're maybe 5 years. 85.
No, it's right, like before that. Because Robbie's a millennial. Yeah. So it's maybe like 82. Yeah. Gotcha.
So how old's Robbie?
39.
Okay. So we're like 5 or 6 years away from the fact that a millennial could be a president.
That'd be interesting. There's so many jokes that could come from that.
But that's what I mean. Like, we are like 5 or 6 years away from our generation to be able to start being like in elections for that sort of stuff.
Right.
It's very weird.
It's weird. But again, I mean, that could be a good thing. I mean, we actually
good
have
or bad thing. It's just
spending and changing old. Power, you know? I mean, that kind of is held by boomers and X right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, when their time comes, it'll be like, okay, how are we going to take this in the direction it needs to go?
Mm-hmm.
So true. Good to have those conversations now.
Yeah. We got so off topic.
We got way off topic.
We got nostalgic.
We got serious.
We got nostalgic and then yeah.
Okay, well, let's end.
Guess we're done. Yeah.
Anything else happens.
We're finished.
If you have kids, I would suggest having them watch at least the Ewoks cartoon, the first season. I think they would truly enjoy it. Other than that, if you want to be nostalgic, go watch some Ewoks, Star Wars. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun. Maybe when you're bored out of your mind, it can work. But yeah, so next week we're going to be talking about, I know we're talking about the Droid TV show. We'll do an overview of that. And then I feel like there was something else. I think there was a Wookiee cartoon that we're talking about.
Cool.
Hold please. No, I thought I had the episode list up and I did not. I have the episode list for my other podcast up. Wrong one.
Let me see.
It's loading. Meh. Okay, so Droids Faithful Wookiee. I don't remember if that's a TV show or a movie. And then there is a Clone Wars micro series. I don't know if I'm actually, I think we're just really going to talk about them. I don't know if any of us are going to watch them because that's a lot. But we're just going to talk about them because they are vintage and we haven't talked about all the vintage things yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So cool. Join us next week.
Yeah.
Bye, Pixie Dusters.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins, Sammy and Ashley. Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to the Limitless Podcast Network's own channel, Instagram, and all things social media. And we'll see you all real soon.